Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you on a non-stop treadmill that you can't seem to get off of? Does it seem like you'll never catch up on your rest? Well, welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today I want to share what the Bible says about rest and how this overlooked need that we all have can actually impact every area of your finances. A listener recently wrote me and challenged my own thinking on this topic of work. And she pointed out that we talk a lot about work on Money Life, but we usually don't talk about rest or using our leisure time wisely. Here's what she said. I'm writing to you because of the article entitled, What You Can Do to Save America from Bankruptcy. I was really concerned with the conclusion in value number 5. You said we must embrace work over entertainment and leisure. I'd like to explain to you my perspective. I agree that we do enjoy many leisure activities in this country. However, it sounds as though we should give them all up in order to pursue a second job to earn more money. Is that really what you're saying? As for myself, I work a full-time professional job, I have a second job as an adjunct professor, and as a third job, I do mystery shopping. I'm rarely not working in some fashion. But I'm tired a lot. I'm mentally exhausted from trying to juggle the work as well as the responsibilities of others that I support. And so as a result of her challenge to me, I began to rethink this whole issue of work and rest. And I began to study what the Bible says about rest and to look around to see if it's actually an issue for many people. I found a fascinating article on Wikipedia about a term that I never heard of called karoshi. And it's a Japanese word that can literally be translated death from overwork. And it's a phenomenon in Japan called occupational sudden death. And Japan is one of the few countries in the world that actually reports this as a separate category or statistic for death. And the major medical causes of karoshi are heart attacks and strokes brought on by stress. In the latter part of the 80s, in Japan, several high-ranking business executives who were still in their prime years suddenly died without any previous sign of illness. And this new phenomenon was quickly labeled karoshi and was immediately seen as a new and serious menace for people in the workforce. Well, for anybody who's ever been there who feels overworked today, we're going to jump into the Bible and see what God has to say about overwork and how you can learn to rest. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We're going to take a quick rest and we'll be right back.
You're always looking for ways to save money, right? That's why you clip coupons every week or spend hours looking for deals online. But are you getting the full benefit for your effort? The Couponizer is a way to organize, store, and access all your coupon finds and gift cards with a 22-pocket wire-bound booklet. Once you set it up, you'll be ready to go shopping anytime your busy schedule allows, and it's small enough for you to put it in your handbag and take it with you. The Couponizer system includes the Couponizer, the booklet Your Guide to Smart Savings by Amy Bergen, a pre-sorting mat that matches the categories in the Couponizer, a list pad for tracking your savings and spending, and more, all in a durable carrying bag. You can find out more about how the Couponizer works at crown.org, or you can call 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976 or crown.org for the Couponizer.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today's topic, how to learn to rest. And we're going to jump into the scriptures and look at what God says about this phenomenon of overwork. I think the Lord knew it was going to be one of our tendencies. Do you know where the very first place the Lord speaks about rest in the scripture? It's fascinating to me because it's in Genesis chapter 2. Listen to this. After calling the world into existence, and all the verbs that were used to describe God's creation. He says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Another translation says that he ceased from all of his labors. Well, today I want us to learn how we are called to rest. We're called not just to work 6 days a week, but the Lord said that to reflect his glory, He established a plan that we should follow suit of what he did. And the Lord himself rested. I find that a fascinating concept, that God would rest. I don't think he rested because he was tired, but I think he rested because he was setting an example of what was actually best for us. And you know why I say that? Because all of God's commandments are given to us to demonstrate what is best for us. When the Lord says that you should not steal, or you should not commit murder, you should honor your father and mother, you should not lie, you should not covet, all of those commandments are good for us. Now, I realize that we live in the new covenant, that we're under the New Testament, the covenant of grace. But if you look at the Ten Commandments closely, the Lord said to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, separate it from all the other days of your week. He said, it's okay, 6 days, go ahead and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the seas and all that's in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. That's a day that he actually blesses. Now, some people say we're no longer under these commandments. I would argue that none of the others have been set aside. It's still not right to murder. It's still not right to lie or to cheat or to commit adultery. Why would we say that we should ignore God's command to rest? In fact, if you look further in Exodus, the Lord said something very fascinating to Moses about the Sabbath rest. He said in chapter 31, verse 14, observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Whoever does any work on that day must be cut off from his people. For 6 days, work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest. It's holy to the Lord. And whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death. Well, fortunately, we are under the new covenant. But the Lord told us, he literally commanded us to observe it as holy, and it would be a blessing to us. And here's what I found we've made of it. We've actually made our weekends as days when we stop our work, our careers, but we do all kinds of other labors. We become weekend warriors. It's a time to work on your second home or to work in the yard or even to catch up on what you didn't get done at the office. Very few people actually observe a time of complete rest where you literally cease from all your labors. You shut it down and you allow your mind and your body to rest. I believe it was God's plan for man to get at least 1 day of complete and total rest. It reminds me of a story shared by Marva Don, a great author, who told the story of pioneers who were traveling west in a hurry to move from east to west to settle in the new territory. And they were traveling by wagon trains, and one group wanted to stop every seventh day and observe a day of rest. And the other wagon train said, no, we won't get there in time for winter. We'll all die out here if we don't press on. So we're going to travel 7 days a week. Now, that sounds like something I would say. Well, take a guess which one of those wagon trains actually made it to the west sooner than the other. The ones that stopped and observed a day of rest. And you know why? Because the animals were rested, and when they traveled, they weren't exhausted, and they literally passed the other group who had to stop due to exhaustion. Doesn't that sound familiar to the rut we get ourselves in? We press and we press and we press. We work 5 days a week at the office or at our jobs or at our careers, and then we come home and we start our personal chores, and we never really stop. And we're all on this hamster wheel going round and around and around. And my wife challenged me to learn to rest. And I found it incredibly difficult to embrace that concept, to truly stop everything and to just allow myself the liberty to rest. And what I have discovered, that it actually is an act of faith to be able to do it. To take a day when I'm not going to do anything else. And so at our home, we have learned to take Sundays as a day of joyful rest and to celebrate that by faith, the Lord himself said, don't do any work. and we're going to try it. There's some great examples of this blessing in the business world. How many times have you pulled up to a fast food restaurant on a Sunday and realized they were closed? I've done that. I've sat at the window at a Chick-fil-A thinking, why aren't they open? I want to order something. And what do you think to yourself? This is one of the highest volume days for a fast food restaurant to be open for the after church crowd. And here they are closed. How could they possibly make it? But I remember reading Truett Cathy's story, and he said, you know, if you work in the restaurant business, you're exhausted, and you can't make it unless you have a day of rest. And so he closed so that he could personally rest and observe and honor the Lord. Well, how do you think Chick-fil-A stacks up in terms of profitability in the fast food industry? Would it surprise you to find out that they're number one? They have one of the best bottom line performances in all the food industry. And do you think it has anything to do with the Lord's blessing of actually observing what the Lord said would be good for us? And that's closing down their business on a day when common wisdom would tell you that they couldn't afford to do it. But it's an act of faith. The same is true for a friend of mine who owns a wonderful furniture business in Dallas, Texas, Weir's Furniture. Sundays are a very good day to be open in Dallas, Texas. And yet this company closes their retail store on Sundays, they have for years, and their business flourishes. I think it's the blessing of the Lord. I think it's a lesson you and I need to learn. And we're going to talk more about this idea of resting from your work when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back in just a moment.
What would you say if I told you that in 10 short weeks you could decrease your debt, increase your savings, and strengthen your relationships while growing spiritually? Sound too good to be true? Well, all of these results are being reported by thousands who have completed the Biblical Financial Study from Crown Financial Ministries. This 10-week study teaches you more than practical principles about managing money. It focuses on the life-changing truth of God's Word. Individuals are being transformed as they learn proven biblical principles and how to apply them to their finances. To find a biblical financial study group in your area, go online to the My Crown section of crown.org. And if there's not a Crown 10-week biblical financial study already planned in your area, consider starting one. To find out how, call 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today our topic is learning to rest. The Lord said to work 6 days a week, but learn to rest, to cease from all your labors at least one day a week. And I want to challenge you right now. If you're overworked, if you're tired, if you're burnt out, if you're constantly stressed out, and you feel as if you have no margin, and you're thinking to yourself, Chuck, it sounds like a really great spiritual idea, but in practicality, I will never catch up. I'll get too far behind. It's impossible for me to rest. Then I would tell you, don't believe me, but believe the Lord. And take this challenge by faith. Because I believe there's actually a very deep connection in increasing your faith by learning to stop doing what you think is so necessary for you to get done at least one day a week. To rest from your labors. Now, we've made this a joy in our home. Sunday is a day we celebrate that there's no work to be done. Now, we thought our children would just have a fit about it because we thought they wouldn't want to rest. But much to our surprise, the first thing we do is we take turns who gets to pick where we're going to go out to eat on Sunday so Mom doesn't have to cook. And we take turns, and here are our rules. Whoever's day it is gets to choose where they want to go out to eat. And nobody else can complain about it. Now, that brings peace to the home right there. So it's actually very fun. And they can't wait till their week rotates around, and we're going to go eat where they choose. And nobody's going to argue. And then we go home, and we take a nap. Now, you would not think that a 12-year-old boy, a 16-year-old girl, and a 9-year-old boy would want to take a nap. But when they see that it's fun and that we're all looking forward to it and we're having a day of rest, they take long naps, and we have come to see this as priceless in our family. Now, let's not get legalistic. If your ox is in a ditch on Sunday, should you get your ox out of the ditch? Well, of course. The Lord said that. Don't become a Pharisee about this. But think about your opportunity for your testimony to your neighbors. To say, my provision doesn't depend upon all of my own labors. That I'm trusting God that this day I can literally rest. I can take it easy. I've done my work. I'm not going to work in the yard. I'm not going to work around the house. I'm actually going to rest. Another form of resting is to rest from worry, especially financial worry. I think most of us are missing contentment in our lives, where we're missing the joy of saying, I'm grateful for what God's provided, and I can live this day and be happy in it. If I don't give in to any of the advertising that I've got to have more, or I've got to go shopping to buy something, or I've got to spend time doing something so that I'll have more in the future, that I literally can rest from my labors and also rest from my worry about whether or not God is going to provide if I don't work for one day. I think it's a great testimony. I think it's a great form of evangelism for your neighbor to be able to see that you're a happy and contented person because you trust God. To know that you're not a worrywart and stressed out all the time and exhausted mentally and physically because you trust God. It's a form of rest that many of us never experience. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a list of all of your worries, especially all of your financial worries. And on that list, I want you to divide it into one of two categories. On one side of the list, divide them into the things that you can do something about. And then the other side of the list, say, these are the things that I can't do anything about. And I simply have to trust God to do His part. You see, the things that you can do something about during the 6 days that you have to work, do it. Be faithful to do your part. But on that day that you can't do anything about it and God is calling you to rest, then trust Him to do His part. Now, once you've made that list and you've divided it into those proper categories, take that list and just put it in the back of your Bible and then pray about each one of those things on your list that you're actually worried about. I think for most of us, depression and burnout comes from constantly trying to change our circumstances or trying to change people in our life that we cannot change. Emotionally, we're pushing on a boulder and we're trying to move it uphill and it doesn't move. And so we just grind and we grind and we grind and we work and we work and we worry and we worry until we've finally used up all of our reserves. Well, that's not a picture of faith. Faith is believing what God can do. It's not believing in yourself. Faith is believing that God is able. Now, most financial teaching today is 100% humanism. It's putting the responsibility on your back. But that's not biblical wisdom at all. In Matthew 11:28, the Lord says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Lord said that when you turn your problems over to Him and trust Him, and are willing to implement His truth and to walk by faith in it, that He will teach you how to rest. Now, isn't that a quality that the world desperately needs to see right now from those of us who name the name of Christ? Let me give you an example. I had a friend who bought a house in a location that went from a beautiful country road to a busy, bustling highway, and it decreased the value of his home rapidly. What once was a beautiful country lane now was a terrible highway. He could barely get out of his driveway. He put it on the market for 4 years, and he never got anybody to look at it. Finally, he gave up, and he said, "Lord, if you want me to sell this house, I'm going to put it on the market by owner, and you'll have to sell it." Within a week of having that little for sale by owner sign out front of his house, someone who had just moved into the community knocked on his door and paid him full price. And he says he thinks the Lord was waiting for him to give up his worry and his stress. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about learning to rest. You're listening to Money Life. We'll be right back.
Tired of struggling to pay your bills every month? Not sure where your money's going? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't always to make more money. Often it's learning to manage what God has already given you. And Crown Financial Ministries has something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes is one of the most advanced online money management systems ever. It will help you easily create a home budget online in a secure environment and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you how much you have left to spend in any budget category. You'll have access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. I started this program today asking you, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you on a nonstop treadmill and you can never seem to catch up? Well, this may not sound like the most practical advice you've ever received, but I think it's the truest advice I could ever give you. The Lord Himself told you exactly what He wanted you to do if you find yourself exhausted. First, He said to enter into the Sabbath rest, a time when you cease from your labors, when you finally come to the point when you say, I'm going to walk by faith. Yes, Lord, I'll do my part. I'll work the way you've commanded me to work. But there's a day when I'm going to stop. I'm literally going to enjoy and celebrate a day when I say by faith, Lord, you've promised that if I rest, that you will bless and you will take care of my needs. So I'm going to do that by faith. I'm not going to be complacent. I'm going to be content. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm going to be actively resting and trusting you and being a witness to your kindness and your goodness in my life. And I'm going to rest from worry. And let me say this. Once you've made your list of the financial worries in your life, and you've divided them into categories of the things that you know that God's calling you to do something about, to take action and to do your part, to have a plan. And maybe it's to get on the money mat. Maybe it's to start living on a budget. Maybe it's to pay off the house. Maybe it's to look harder for that extra job or income that you need, or to have the courage to go ask your boss for a raise. Maybe it's the courage to leave the job you have and to seek a better job, or to go home to be with the children, whatever it may be. I want you to make that list and say, Lord, I'll do my part. And here are some things I cannot control. And I'm admitting to you, Lord, I've been worried about these things. But I'm going to cease from my worries. I'm going to stop spending emotional energy on financial worries that I cannot change. And Lord, I'm going to trust you and ask you to intervene. And then I'm going to cast my cares upon you because the Lord invited you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you want rest, come to the person of Christ, the holy personality, the living God, the loving Father, who wants you to be at peace. He wants you to rest. And I pray for you this day. If you're in financial bondage, then I ask you to cast those cares upon Jesus Christ. He cares for you. He will intervene in your life, and it will be the wisest decision you've ever made. I'd ask you to do that this day. Don't turn your back and say, Lord, I hear those words, but I'm going to continue to do the same things I've always done. Change today and enter into the rest that only comes from Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for joining us today. I do hope you'll let me know if you've entered that Sabbath rest. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back again next time.